It's not a Thursday. What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Woman Bean.
No laughing.
I jinxed that one.
I jinxed that one.
It was my fault. But anyway, welcome guys to another episode. We are happy to have you here once again. Thank you for clicking to listen. Have you been? Let us know what's been going on. What movies have you been watching?
Where have you been going or not going? You know,
I just feel like as we divulge more and more of like who we are on this podcast, you guys are becoming like proper my G's. Do you understand? So now we can like sit down and chat and just say, hi guys, have you been? You know, has work been? Has life been?
I feel like that can even
has mom see.
That can even be one episode.
I swear.
What did you eat today?
Like, has mom see? So popsicle. How far church now? When as you go? But yeah, so you guys, welcome to another episode. In fact, let's actually, in the spirit of full transparency, tell you that we're shooting this episode the night before its release.
Yeah.
Because life has been lifing. Life.
You know what's interesting is how the last episode, I think, was talking about goals.
Yeah.
And
exactly. And goal setting.
And look at us.
We're living the ladders. We're practicing what we're preaching, right? Because we didn't let it stop us. Like, true, we still true, found true, a way.
True. True.
Even if it's last minute in midnight.
Sure.
Even if it's last
it's
minute
fresh.
In midnight.
That means it's fresh.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So that's how you guys know that this is important to us. And, you know, we're really serious about being committed to some level of consistency on the podcast. Never to disappoint. Yeah.
Amen.
So today we're going to start with another episode of Madu. All right. So this one is someone's true life story. From Oindapen Addict on Twitter.
We should have a soundtrack for this Madu episode.
Honestly,
like a different Madu soundtrack.
Oh, well, I have a future in music.
You do, girl. And I have a future with cheering you on.
You actually do. Because you do well. Okay. So I'm going to try and read this in like the woman's voice so that it can, because it's actually very emotional. So. My true life story. My husband has never made love to me since 3 years we got married. My name is Desi. I am 27 years old. I got married to Daniel, my husband, when I was 24 years. And it was a marriage I prayed for it to happen because I love him. Daniel loves me too. And he sacrificed a lot for my happiness when we're dating. He's a church guy. That's why I accepted to marry him. We practiced no sex before marriage. He joined our church. We met each other and we liked each other. Our pastor blessed the marriage on the night of our wedding. I was ready for my husband to touch me. I don't know why I froze. If you do that again, I'm going to off the mic.
I'm going to try not to.
He told me to relax. I went to the bed with my phone trying to reply the messages as I was waiting for him. As I was pressing my phone, I heard my husband moaning like somebody who is making out. He was sitting down on the couch, watching a movie with his laptop. I looked to his direction so I can know what was happening. I found out my husband was masturbating.
Oh my God.
I went closer to his position and I found out he was watching on. I was shocked, but I didn't make him feel like it was bad. I just jokingly told him that he has a real person waiting for him and he's watching on real people. My husband told me, please, to go to bed. That was when I became surprised. The way you guys write in this country, I said to God, you need nothing more. No sound effects. Just the writing.
Honestly, for every
dramatic,
for every
that's
point,
when I became surprised.
Like, sounds were going on.
Last week's one was, I had no problem with that.
Yeah.
This week is, that's when I became surprised. Okay. because he continued. He watched another video. What could be the problem? I asked myself.
Second round.
This is meant to be emotional. The next day, very early, I tried touching my husband. As they said, men are always ready early in the morning. He told me to lay down. I did. Then he stood up, brought his laptop and placed it on the bed. He opened a file, which was a collection of porn movies. Odogo. Odogo Akali. She said his collection. I decided not to ask him any question about the film he played and all that. As he was watching, he used AirPods and then he started using his hands on me. He dragged my hand to his own and it was a hand job morning. He came and immediately the film finished. He slept off. I was angry. It's not alone. This story. The next day, I asked my husband what the problem is. Mm-hmm. My husband said he enjoys watching porn than making love to a woman. Ugh. I asked him why he married me. And he said, so the world will not question his sexuality. Oh my husband opened up to me that he has never made love to any woman in his life. Oh my God. I became speechless and weak. One day, he went out and bought me toys to use on myself whenever I need someone inside me. Or I could choose to go outside and get it from one particular guy. He told me to choose one out of those two options. I told him I would get a guy and he agreed to it without thinking twice. My husband suggested I never sleep over at any guy's place and I must know the person's health reports. It was as if I was dreaming or reading a book. I couldn't believe what I got myself into. Finally, I got a guy and we became so attached to each other. I started spending nights at his place. All my feelings was transferred from my husband to the new guy. And he told me to leave my husband and be with him. In all of this, I've not told him or anyone about my husband's sexuality. Please, what's my husband's sexuality? This one is not even heterosexual, it's pornosexual. Finally, I told my husband, I'm no longer okay with this marriage. Mm-hmm. The question he asked me was, what will you tell the world made you leave? I told him I would tell them nothing besides the fact that I'm an orphan and an only child. Nobody else will question me. My uncle that stood in for my dad was at that time late. My husband told me there's no problem. I moved out and started living with my new guy. After 5 months, I found out that the new guy has a family that he kept in the village. One morning, he woke me up that his wife and his kids are coming to stay with him and there's no way I will be with them in the house. My heart was broken. I asked God, why my life is not together? Why am I meeting strange men? You cannot make this up. She said strange men. He told me to move out. As I'm talking to you now, I'm living in the church. But even my pastor does not know why I left my marriage. Everyone has been asking me, but I'm trying to protect the image of my husband. I'm thinking of going back to him so I can have a place to stay and still be answering wife. Please advise me. What should I do?
That sounded like,
babe,
a seasonal movie.
Babe.
Like season one, season two.
Babe.
Now she's in season three.
That trend that was on TikTok, like that who the fuck did I marry trend when the babe married a guy that was just a pathological liar. Like, there's just been like crazy stories on, what am I saying, a lot of like, there's just been crazy stories online of women getting into marriages and finding out that they've been bamboozled.
I mean, I've heard very ridiculous ones. I mean, in the course of my job, I've heard very ridiculous ones. I've
I mean, for a man to tell ones. You that he's never had sex, you know, when a man, when you, as a Christian girl, when you meet a guy that is like on the same vibe as you, you're like, oh, I want to abstain to marriage. He's like, oh, I want to abstain to. Your mind would just be like, ah, I found the one.
It feels like, or rather, it sounds like gold.
Oh,
like
God. Like gold. Yeah.
And I don't even know why that is.
I'm not the guy that only says it just so actually, that he can tempt you later, but actually, why your husband actually abstaining? So I'm sure she must have thought, yeah, this is my soulmate. And then just entered. The man is like, all you're going to be getting from me is hand job.
Ah, damn. That's...
It's crazy.
That's the grave.
It's crazy.
I don't have any advice.
I feel like you could have pretended for the first night.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say. I'm stammering too much. I don't know what to say.
I don't want to believe that the story is real.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I don't want to believe that's real one. Secondly, 3 years.
3 years.
Just foul, please.
3 years being starved of sex and then getting to a point where she's like, you know, I can't do this anymore. And her husband is like, is that you use sex toys or you just go and find a guy.
Like for
then
you,
he's even giving her cheating advice.
Yeah, like for you to have gone through dating,
yeah,
wanting to be celibate, and then entering marriage, yeah, now cheating. It's almost like you've been made another person.
Yeah.
Right? Because that person who wanted to be celibate,
it's not the same person. It's not the same person. Adultery, lackadaisically, and falling in love with another man.
And not just doing that, keeping up appearances, and bearing, it's like you're living two lives. This point, I'm even tempted to ask if she has another life. Like, do you work? Do you remember your name? Are you
how many fingers how am many I holding fingers, up
you know, like, because at this point you don't even know who you are anymore. You don't even know who you are anymore, and that's the worst place to be. It's to not even find yourself anymore,
to just be lost in somebody else's mess.
You know, now you're not living in church, you're stranded, you don't have family to go to. And even if you've probably put up appearances for 3 years, you've told a lie so much, you believe that lie.
Yeah.
You know, you've...
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
I feel like, I want to go down my knees and just pray for her to be found.
I'm so sorry, sis, if you're listening to this, Sister Desi.
If it's real.
Sister Desi, if this is real, I go listening to this. I'm really sorry, like... I personally don't have any advice for you.
Honestly.
Like, just stay in church and hopefully God will find you and make something out of the situation. Because, I mean, imagine then now leaving this man that has obviously betrayed the vows that he took and then falling into the hand of another married man who has children. I mean, it's a lot of trauma to come back from. Jesus Christ. She can never be the same again.
I mean, the silver lining here is she says she's 27, so she's still young and can pick up pieces of her life, of the life that she eventually finds. This is the real model.
It's really mad.
All the response I have.
I pray that if this story is real, I pray that she gets, you know, like community around her.
Yeah.
Because as an only child, like dealing with all of that, it's really a lot.
At this point.
See, this woman stand on top of a mountain and shout men has come. I don't want to hear pim. I don't want to hear pim from any not a man that come.
I have questions in my head though. And this is not even to, I don't know, I have questions in my head. When I hear things like people that put up appearances in marriage, I get it, but I still have questions. Like, I get it. I get that, you know, people are very concerned. No, first of all, people are very hopeful. You know, things will change. Maybe I could stick, hold on, maybe this, maybe that. Marriage is a lifelong commitment. It's a vow. And even if this person, you know, has broken the vow, I don't want to break it because I also, you know, made my promise before God. I get all of that. And then I get the societal pressure or the societal
image.
Yeah. What will people see? People that probably just will not even think about you the day you die. Yeah.
People who don't give a shit.
They don't even remember your name after that. But anyways, what people will say.
Why did you stay? Yeah, because I was going to just say that, because that's the mad part of the story. Yeah,
the wedding.
If it's the first night.
Yeah, the next morning.
That's it.
And then 1 week passes, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, nothing changes. This person has opened up to you. They're vulnerable. They've opened up to you. They've told you.
It's not vulnerability if I tell you the truth after I've married you.
Yes. So you've opened up. I've told you what it is. This is actually what it is. I'm not willing to change that. You're not trying to get help for this person. They're not trying to get help for themselves either. They've told you what it is. So somewhere in my head, I'm thinking, till the day you die or till the day this marriage is dissolved or you part ways, you're not going to have sex with your husband because clearly has told you and he's not trying to fix that. He's not trying to help himself. You're not trying to help. So you're willing to stay there. And if you're someone that wants to have kids, you're willing to stay there, you know, stay there for life. And if you don't have the option or you don't feel up to, you know, cheating or, committing adultery, it means that you're actually going to be a nun for the rest of your life, but wearing a ring and calling yourself Mrs. Like, do you know how mad that is?
Oh my God.
So actually hold on to that for a year, two, three.
My God.
And then somewhere, in between the lines, this person tells you, you know what, hey, I'll give you sex toys, which automatically cannot reproduce. And then next thing you say, you know what, you can go and sleep with someone else.
Yeah.
This person watches you cheat on them. And then, not even cheat on them, because now you've agreed, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And then you've gone to the extent where you're sleeping out of the house and they don't mind. Jeez. And 3 years.
Three years is a lot.
Yeah. I'm even scared that you could die in the process.
Jesus. Jesus Christ.
I don't know where I think to the extreme, but like, aren't you even like, I don't know, like I have questions. Instead of advice, I actually have questions as to what's your mental state? What was really going on?
So
with you?
Desi, if you're listening, please come to Abuja so that you can be a guest on our podcast.
Or maybe because she's an orphan. Yeah. And she's just looking for
I don't think that that's why she stayed. I don't think it's because she didn't have any other choice. I think it's the same thing that all women do, isn't it? Is that you tell yourself, oh, I can change him. Maybe he just used to like porn because he was single. I'm here now. You know, I'm not thinking that this is a man that never showed her affection.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking that when the pastor said you may kiss the bride, he moved his face.
Yeah.
So he's shown some level of like an ability to show sexual attraction towards her. So she's convinced herself, because she's still having conversations with him about it up until the point where he's like, you know what, you need, you know, like an out. Yeah. This is an out. So I think she's just come to a point where she had sold herself a narrative that something was going to give. God is going to change you. Oh, when I cast and bind the spirit of pornography over my husband, the Lord is going to set him free.
Let's just move.
In fact, I think that the topic that we should talk about, the like just from this model, is the topic on the pressure to get married. Because it's just a perfect segue. It would be insane for us to talk about anything else than the pressure that
people have
to be married. Like that R that they used to put in between the M and the S. So women are gonna die for it. They're gonna die for the R. But why do you think that it is that society pressures women, you know, to get married? What are some of like the logical reasons, and then maybe some of the illogical ones as well?
For logical reasons, I would say two things come to mind. One, I don't know which one comes first, if it's the biological clock of giving birth, which, I mean, really, men cannot give birth. Yeah. They can only provide seed, sperm, but they cannot. So there's that bit. The other bit is women have taught, right, from when they are little girls, that their dignity is somewhat tied to their sexuality. And the only way that you are able to do that, right, or you can do that without undignifying yourself, is to be married, is to be a missus. Also, I think that society has this social construct or class or life stage or phase thing, whatever, that once you're done with a particular level of your life, and not even, I mean, now it's education. Yeah. Then it wasn't education. It was once you've experienced puberty and you've gotten to a particular age grade, then you're ready to give birth.
Yeah.
So it still ties down to that biological clock where you're ready to give birth. You're now, you know, that's the way they check you and say, okay, yeah, you're now a woman and you can reproduce.
Yeah.
Right. So it's time for us to hand you over to a man, you know, and you can be provided for.
Yeah.
So yeah, another aspect would be being on that, having a family, covering. So that covering of a man providing for you, protecting you, you now having your own family and just continuing continuing society. Somewhat, because I mean, we have to replace people that are dying.
It's your civic responsibility to populate.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Even if the earth is currently overpopulated,
you know. So in their head, it is, right? Yeah. So, and not to say that it's exactly wrong, right, for them to think that way, but yeah, these are like the reasons that, you know, usually they just, and because they've sold that without even saying it, it's just,
it's conditioned.
Yeah, you're just conditioned in that way, yeah. It. So somewhat, you just grew up thinking that, you know what, I've gotten to that stage. Oh, then true, there is the biological clock ticking.
Yeah,
true. You know, the exceptions are the exceptions as to people that give birth at what age.
Yeah.
You know, the serial exceptions are there. But the truth is, biologically, there is, you know, the age bracket within which your body can carry.
It's most fertile.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. Yeah, those are some of their reasons. The illogical ones.
You've already mentioned one illogical one. That which is dignity. That dignity. Like, so it can only,
The illogical ones. Then another one is the investment one. It's a set of people in this part of the world. It's like an investment. You know, I put in some investments. I expect some ROI. You know, there's that one. there's also the issue of societal respect.
Yeah.
And the way people address you if you're married or not. In fact, I've actually found myself sometimes introduce myself as Mrs. and I'll call my father's name. Yeah. And I think I can't even remember one, but I mean, I was trying to test out something as to how certain people in a particular office were going to handle what I needed them to do.
Yeah.
And clearly, like, they didn't even disappoint me. Is where the problem is, you know. And I'm just like, wow, your minds are really, really, really conditioned.
It's inbred. And it has taken me personally very, very active, constant work to be able to identify my successes outside of being a wife.
Yeah.
And that's me. I am not 30. I am not 40.
I am not even a wife yet.
Yeah, I am not even a wife yet. But it's been very difficult for me to celebrate my academic achievements, my professional achievements at my very, very young age without comparing it to, oh, but my friends are getting married and my friends are on their first child or on their second child. It's been very difficult. And that's, like you said, it is literally from when you are 3 years old and you get a baby doll to take care of. And you're being told the reason why you're making your bed and your washing plates is because you're going to have a husband.
Yeah.
You're going to have kids. Is that how you leave your bed in your husband's house? Yeah. Is that how you're going to do in your husband's house? You're not going to get married. You know?
Yeah.
And it's constant.
Yeah.
That is probably being told to a girl child more than anything else. And so it's so hard when you get to your 20s, which is the time that you're supposed to be the most beautiful you're ever going to be. Lies. It's going to be the most, you know, youthful you're ever going to be. Lies, you know. And so they feed you all these lies and you internalize it to a point where your body physically starts to manifest it.
True.
Your body physically starts to manifest it. And that is why, if you look at time, you know, I told you I have like crazy research facts about womanhood. Statistics actually show that menopause age has been coming earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
Because it's the hyper information being fed to women that time is running, time is running, time is running, time is running.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're like, oh, we need to do it before 40. And then before you know, it was, we need to do it before 35. Oh, 32 is high risk.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say about this topic. This topic is very passionate for me because for me, I feel like I need to scream at women and say, not everyone is going to get married.
It's hard to swallow for a lot of people, especially a lot of parents, but it is. You know why this is so interesting? Just today. Today, I saw myself, went to meet someone who I do respect, to clarify something. And the next thing, I'm discussing something very professional. And the next thing, I'm being told to sit down. You know, when are you?
Let's talk about something real.
You know.
Because your professional is not important.
Yeah, like, when are you getting married? You know, who is the person that you are dating? Introduce me to this person. Okay, consider this other person that I have for you. Why don't you want to marry this person? I said, you know, at some point I said, you know, that person needs to go and marry someone. I'll give them peace. I almost literally painted myself
to be a woman of war.
So, the only way I got out of that conversation was, don't worry, when I'm ready, I'll send you my IV. Personally, you know. I was like, okay. Well. And you know, this thing you said about you having to do the work of, you know,
reshaping your mind,
and it's so true because it's actually work that you have to do
so that you're not caught up in, oh, so now I've done this, okay, so what, like,
because something will remind you, either your conditioning as to, oh, you should be doing this by this age, or someone will ask you, or you say, okay, oh, I'm going for my friend's wedding, and somebody in your family is like, hey, when are they coming for your own? Like, Jesus Christ, like, can we just focus on me going for this one first, you know? So it's there. You go online. Today I went on my feed and I don't even know what I need to do to the Instagram app, because for some reason, I was asking myself, like, why is my travel page, why is my feed having people that...
Wedding content.
Yeah.
Please. Like, you, please, Teofilo Sunday. Get off my
like,
feed.
Oliver? Like, I love love, but I'm like, you should get out. The travel pages that I used to like looking at. But yeah.
I think something hit me earlier this week, you know, because I was on my family group chat, and as usual, like, something about a marriage came up, and then my sisters were like, I got married, I got married. But it hit me that if women who did not want to be married were left alone, there would be more happy marriages. And I say this to say, whether you like it or not, there's a limited amount of men who are of marriageable age and who consider that on their checklist. But because women are not even given a choice, there now seems to be too many women who are ready to be married. Whereas, this is not a real statistic, I'm just talking based on what I see. I've worked in counseling departments of many churches. I would say 75% of women who go into a marriage are not ready to be wives. They're not ready to be mothers. They're not ready to give what is required to hold that office. But they don't have a choice. No one has asked them, what else would you do? No one has given them the opportunity to be who they want to be. So if you have more people being forced into an institution that they don't want to be a part of, but they just have to do it because of external validation, which for them will probably translate into internal validation as well. And then people who actually want to, nurture and be wives or whatever, are just left with whatever's left. Do you understand? I'm saying that because I don't think that marriage is a, and I'm not just saying that it's facts actually, marriage is not a requirement for a fulfilled life. People have done so much to impact their generation and numerous generations after them without having an R between their M and S. Some women have died miss, and they've done more for the society and for the growing of the community than the people with misses.
And even for themselves. You know when you said this thing about the people that you've worked with or you've seen, you know what came to my mind as a question is, even if they're not ready or they're not ready to occupy the position of wife, if you really ask some of them, okay, so what would you rather do? They don't even know.
They've never thought that there was anything else. I mean, I don't think it's that they don't know. I think once you've been told something a million times, you start to believe it.
True.
You start to believe that this is the apex achievement that every woman can achieve. Like, so many times you hear people reading a woman's profile and they're just waiting to hear, and she's married, she has a beautiful husband with 70 kids. They're just waiting, like, all the other things are just like, oh, she's the CEO of a bank, she's this one, she's that one. It's like, but she's 40, she married. You know, it's almost like every woman must have the innate need to cohabit. Yeah. And for me, let's debunk that myth, first of all, that marriage does anything extra for your life, right? You can build solid friendships that are purely platonic, that can push you towards destiny more than your husband ever could. I find it scary that we hear these stories of very, very terrible things happening to women. Mm-hmm. And not to say that they're not happening to men, but this is the topic of conversation for today, is about women. Many scary things happening to women in the ambits of this institution, and so many women are still dying to get in. It's almost, do you know how morbid it is? It's so morbid because they're telling you that in that room, 75% of people who are going in that room are going to be hurt, they're going to be broken, having trauma, and you're like, please, I need to get into that room, please, please just let me in. I see so many women scruffling to get into an institution that, from my own perspective, except the two parties are truly willing to have a healthy, it's high risk. Marriage is high risk. It's not an institution you enter blindly. It is one of the most attacked institutions because the devil understands how important family is for society and the world in general. So you're scruffling to enter into a room where you know you're not gonna live without scars. Why are you addicted to suffering? And again, I can't blame those women because we as a society, and I'm just lending my voice to what I hope is a bigger conversation being had in the most important spaces. We as a society need to actually be so cautious do not continually place women in these boxes. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to mothers, I'm talking to fathers, uncles, and aunties. Me personally, if you're my auntie and my uncle watching this, reading or listening to this podcast, rather, please don't text me again and ask me why am I getting married. When you get the invite, you want to eat rice, cook it. If you want to eat rice, cook it in your house. Don't ask me when I go to eat rice. Auntie, cook your rice. Don't stress me. Because for me, marriage is not a goal for me. It's not. If it happens and I do find someone that I'm like, okay, you know what? I can build a life with this person. Yeah. Great. Just the way I'll be happy if I ever get a Bugatti. That doesn't mean I'm going to get a Bugatti before I die. It's just if it happens, good. If it doesn't, cool. I have so many other plans and goals. And I'm scared for myself because I'm getting to that age where the pressure's starting to mount. And mm-hmm. I keep thinking, if I get into my mid-30s or whatever and I haven't found this person, I'm going to have to start blocking people. I'm going to actually have to start blocking people, like physically and socially. I don't want to hear your voice. Don't lend your voice to my cause. Don't pray for me to find a husband because that's not my prayer. My prayer is to live a life of impact. Having kids is a beautiful thing, but there's so many options outside marriage for that. I can nurture children that will grow up to be very, very, what they call it, influential member society. I have that capacity in me. Yeah. I have that capacity. They don't have to be children of my loins. And I'm fine with that. And I wish that many more women asked themselves that question as well. Am I fine with this never happening for me? So much of our pains and our anxieties and so many depressions that women are trying to deal with, whether it's from external pressure or internal pressure, comes from this issue. Mm. It's shortening women's lives, both the ones who are caving into the pressure and the ones who aren't. It is shortening our lives. It is not making us meet our potential. It's not making us ask the questions as to what we want to do with our lives. Mm. Having a husband and a child or children is a full-time job. There's hardly time for anything else. That's a decision you need to consciously make. You can't just say, okay, I'm done with school, it's time.
Yeah.
It's scary to me that so many women are scruffling to get into this space with the amount of sacrifice that's required and with the risk that you can get into the space and marry a wrong person.
Women actually just understanding what it is that you want, right? And women just realizing that, first of all, you're a human being, and when God made you, I know we always say be fruitful and multiply, and the only way we tie that is to tie that to childbearing. While that is great,
not the purpose of that scripture. Yeah.
While that is great for you to want to have, that's not all that there is to life. Because recently, I think I was sharing with you how recently I just had to learn that it's not so much even as to just marrying, is who you are in that marriage. Because a lot of times we're very hell-bent on who we marry and who we don't. And, you know, it made a lot of sense. I mean, it's one of the biggest decisions of your life because you don't want to go on that trip with the wrong person. Life already has its own pressures. You don't want someone who you're waking up to adding to that every now and then. But also who you are in that marriage. So even for you that's already married and you're listening to this, is to begin to rediscover yourself and ask yourself, okay, so who exactly am I? And outside this marriage, who do I want to become, right? Who do I want to be remembered as? Or, I mean, I always say these things that even though, yes, there's a greater impact that you can have on your world, or you can have in your community, in your sector, in your industry, there's also you. What is the fulfillment that you want, right? What is that you want? So whichever one you choose, because really there will be pressure. I'm not even gonna lie. I remember you know how they say these things where if your younger one gets married before you and the entire family, I mean, I used to see it in movies and I used to, you know, just imagine what it would be like until, you know, having to plan my younger sister's wedding and
where you get up close
and now be her bridesmaid, you know, and fam, the only hello I heard throughout that entire wedding, but for maybe 2-3 people who I can count on my fingers, the only hello I heard is so you know now what, when are you,
yeah,
what, you know? And luckily, I had mentally prepared for it. right? I had mentally prepared for it because I knew it was going to come. I mentally prepared for it. So it wasn't really, for me, it was just, I would laugh and move away. Or from busy and move away because fam, I have my world there. Like, so climb over. Yeah. But really, like what Pearl said, just knowing why you're doing what you're doing, it's beautiful to want to be married. It's great to want to have kids. And if you don't want to, it's just as beautiful, to be honest. Really, because last, you're still going to die.
Another myth that everybody is sold to this topic is this sort of like incompleteness, right? When they say, okay, you're going to find someone that completes you. It's a myth because there are people who are lonely in marriage as well. If this thing was just like, okay, get in and you're good, there wouldn't be unhappy women who are married. Like, there are a lot of them who are unhappy. And idea of finding someone to complete you does not even make sense if I'm coming from the place of what I believe, which is biblically speaking from the Bible. Speaking from the Bible, how can you call someone who is made in the perfect image of God, that scripture says, as he is, so am I in this world, incomplete? It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. And somehow the man is not incomplete until he finds a wife, but a woman is incomplete until she finds a husband. Please, let's start saying these things out to ourselves in front of mirror so that we can hear how stupid they sound, you know?
I think that would just came up from, you know how people say, oh, my better half and the rest. And I think that what they are trying to say is what God had said before when he made Adam and said, you know what, I need to make a helper
suitable for you.
I think that if he wanted to say that I would make another half of you, he could have said that.
I'm making your second half.
Yeah.
For him to create Adam and say, this is good, but it's incomplete.
Yeah. I think that if he wanted to, he's very intentional. He actually say.
Doesn't mean words. Know,
when he says a man will leave at father's house and cleave to his wife and the two shall become one. And the two, if he wanted to say, and both halves will become one,
he would have said that. Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, these are just, you know, the way society carries certain things. But I'd say that, I mean, for you, I was going to ask, for you, how have you been able to filter the pressure, right? Because I'm imagining that someone's listening to this now and just wondering, okay, so we've said all of the things that we're supposed to know, but how do you really deal with it?
The thing is, I will speak for myself, but first of all, let me just say that I've been opportune to see how my own pressure is not even real pressure. I have a friend from the north in Nigeria, and she's gotten to a point where she's physically been ostracized from certain members of the family. They don't want to talk to her because at some point when she was unmarried, it was suggested to her that she goes ahead and becomes the second wife of a man. And she had said no. You know, she wanted to actually just, you know, keep hoping for what was her desire, which was to have her own husband and for them to just leave just the two of them. And in the north, I understand that some of the women who are listening might be from those areas, and the pressure is a lot worse. Then honestly, all I can do is pray for you, because it's easier said, like, oh, be rebellious or stand up for yourself or take yourself outside the situation. But there's real considerations. If the person who is sponsoring your life, that is, you cannot brush your teeth if you not ask daddy for toothpaste money, and daddy says, you're getting married. It's so hard to rebel in that instance. I've been blessed and opportune to be independent. And so my pressures are not the same as someone who isn't.
Yeah.
That being said, it's not hard for me. Anybody that want to stress me, I will move. I will go to Calabar or I'll go to Port Harcourt. I'm not joking. If it gets to a point where I feel like me staying here is not good for my mental health, I've stopped picking certain aunties' calls. I will just see their calls and reply with a text message. Like, you know, I'm sometimes, if it's face to face and the whatever comes up, I just lie. I don't feel like there's a need for me to explain my life to you. So I will just lie. So when I'm getting married, I'm still waiting for him. We have stupid Yoruba boy, he never still proposed. But anyway, we are thinking maybe towards the end of this year. Anything you want to hear, me, I'll just tell you. Do you understand? But that's just the kind of grace and I think is the benefit that I have mm-hmm. from what God has blessed me with, because that independence makes me fully in charge of my own decisions. Mm-hmm. And as for external validation, I've never sought that. So that has never been an issue for me. I've never walked into a place and thought, oh, these people are going to think less of me because I'm mm-hmm. unmarried. Yes, I'm unmarried. And yes, you're going to respect me, because if you don't, I'm taking my business somewhere else.
Yeah.
And if it's that I need something for you and you say that you don't give me because I'm not a married woman, I'm going to landlord to ask for house. Landlord say, you know, go give me house because I know girls ban. I could go another landlord. Ask. If all of them are no greed, give me. I could go live in church with Desi.
Wow, you brought her into this.
Desi, see you soon, girl. I've just made up my mind yeah. with everything, not mm-hmm. just with marriage, but whatever I choose to do with my life, my career. Because guess what, baby? The pressure doesn't stop. My friend got married 2 years later. They are pressure. They said they want to do 3 years without a child. You must born. And if you cannot born, that's another problem. Then if you born the first one, why will you have an only child? The pressure doesn't stop. At some point in every girl's life, everybody's life, you must start living for yourself. And me, I've already got to that point. I think I got to that point late last year. I was like, it's enough. Pear, what do you want? And that's what we're going to chase, and that's what we're going to hunt. Because as much as you feel like you have 100 years, 105 years on this planet, time is fleeting. And you live one life. And when you are on your deathbed, your uncle or your auntie is not there congratulating you. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for caving into our pressure. All you have is the memories you've created. And if none of those memories were a reflection of what you desired, you would die unhappy. And that scares me more than any pressure. What about you? How do you deal with the pressure to be Mrs.
to be Mrs. Stone?
To wear white gown.
Mrs. Brinston?
If I need to wear white gown, I'll just go to Select Church. Please. Oh, wow. Nobody stress me.
Babe. Let me see. How do I deal? First of all, I think similar method, really. I've lived independently. So there is that. I've lived independently for a very long time, you know. I've never had to really depend on anyone family-wise, you know. So even when you are trying to pressure me, I've never had to come to you that, I need to go feel or anything. So your pressure is still limited to how much allowance I give to you, right? But every now and then I'm avoiding the call. I'm avoiding the conversation. If I cannot avoid it, then I laugh through it, you know. Or I say,
please don't lie like me. I just realized that I just told people.
Or I laugh through it. Or I just say, and that's because, you know, somewhere in my head, sometimes I just zone out from the conversation I just zone out. So you're saying what you're saying, but I'm not there. I'm not really there. There's sometimes that on the call, if I just drop the phone until when I hear, so can you hear? I'm like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
I can hear you now.
You know, I remember the one that even happened this week. Last weekend where we had like a family, my very, very younger cousin was getting married. And then like how many of them, you know, came to the house, and I was trying to talk to my mom, and she was like, oh, your uncle. So I was like, well, let me call you back. And genuinely, it was actually because I needed to do something else.
Yeah.
But somehow I forgot to call back till the next day.
Yeah.
And then before I said, let me call you back, she had told me my sister's uncle was around.
Yeah.
So I think somewhere in his head, he thought I was avoiding.
Yeah.
But him. I genuinely actually needed to go off the phone. So by then I called back the next day, and I'm like, oh, because I was like, Mama, hey, I'd like to check up on her. Cause, and she was like, oh, but you said you're going to come back yesterday. And then just when she was saying, you said you're going to, I just heard my name, and then heard your, I just
zoomed out.
That's even when I said, you know what? I have to go. This one, I actually have to go.
No, flee.
No, I have to flee. You know, so there's that part. There's also the bit where, let me see. Is there another way that I deal? There's also the self-talk.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. There's also this. I
think that's the hardest part.
Yeah, there's also the self-talk, because, I mean, especially for someone like me that wanted to get married at a particular age. Yeah. Very, I don't even know why I said that age. You know, because now I've crossed the age and it's just like, ooh, okay, let's travel the world, you know. But there's also the self-talk where you are constantly, you know, telling yourself or reminding yourself what it is that you want. I remember that there was a time in my life where I used to be afraid, not afraid, just I used to hold up on making certain decisions because I didn't want to make them
and then
go that far, and then somebody comes into my life, and understanding that marriage is two people, union. A union, and then somebody comes into my life, and then I have to now
start stepping back.
Yeah, I know that there was a time in my life where I'm like, you know, let me not do this now.
Or let me wait until my husband is here, and then we can do it together.
Yeah, and then there's some things then that I used to want to hold off on and say, okay, I want to do this with my partner. You know, I want to do this with my partner. There's still some things that, yeah, I would love to do with my partner. But just getting to that point where I'm like, you know what? No. Like, this is life.
Do it now.
Yeah, do it now.
I can die tomorrow.
Yeah. And if you lose a friend, or you lose two that are very close to you at a very young age, that are your age mates,
yeah,
reality check.
Yeah,
you get the reality check too. Yeah. Know that, you know, these people right
tomorrow
now
is not promised.
Yeah, and they're not thinking about marriage right now. They're gone. You know, so
yeah.
I think that self talk and self realization as to you're on earth. What are you really here for? You know, what do you, just like you said, what do you really want to do?
Yeah,
you know. Who do you want? And maybe sometimes just letting yourself even prepare for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I also find that some people go into marriage unprepared. It's not like you're fully prepared, but if it's an institution and if it's a school that you never leave, because they say it's a school, you keep learning. Yeah. You might want to study for it. I mean, you sure want to prepare for it mentally, emotionally. You know, you want to prepare
financially,
especially
I have to say that one slowly,
especially
so that you don't end up in church like Desi.
Because
I'm so sorry, Desi. At this point,
that question.
She has to apologize. I'm so sorry at this point because I feel like she was vulnerable in sharing her story. Now, yes. I swear I'm not using it as banter. This is just real things that happen around us, and this is the last thing I'm going to say on this topic. I feel like as women, we must fight against whatever threatens to take what could be our best life from us. Whatever that is, whatever pressure threatens to slow you down, to kick you down, you must constantly fight. I am fighting right next to you on a daily basis. I have internalized a lot of what was told to me as a child, which is, get married, have children. If you don't, you will never experience those joys in anything else. No other achievement, no other success can bring you the same joy as walking down the aisle, as having your husband cry as you walk down, as holding your child in your arms. I'm fighting it every day because I've not seen any of that in scripture. And I've been using literally what God and who God says I am and I should be to combat it. To say, I'm going to live a life that is, you know, I'm fighting. I'm fighting for my life because I don't want to get to a point where, you know, and if you never self-check or become self-aware, you never know. You're just going by the mechanics. Oh, I have a ring on my hand. That should make me feel good. I'm still fighting every day. And I hope to see more and more women fight and win this battle against this thing that we've internalized, that this particular achievement, there's nothing else like it in the world, and there's no other joy in life than to be a missus. And I hope we all come out on the other side completely healed and living, you know, completely happy, successful and fulfilling lives for ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, everything you said, really, whatever way that you can fight, you know, whatever way you can fight, please fight really if you need to fight. But I think that most importantly is maybe sit with yourself and ask yourself what you really want. And if you want to be married, please, I wish you the most blissful, the fairy tale kind of married life that people have, that happily ever after. Amen. I wish you. And if you don't want to be married, I wish you the most fulfilling,
yes,
happy, you know, fruitful, impactful,
yes,
best life, literally. Yes. Whichever boat you choose to sail on.
Thank you, mommy.
Get out. And yeah, really, just know that whatever. I do hope that this discussion just remind you that you're not alone.
Yeah.
This conversation, that conversations we also have with other people outside of this podcast, and you hear the same thing every now and then. You go online, you see the same thing. In fact, lately I've seen so many people get married And within a very short period of time, I'm scared at how many separations and divorces are going on. And
not disinformation overload.
Yeah, and not to say that, you know, I'm also encouraged, right, and happy to see so many beautiful marriages.
On the other end.
Yeah. And I'm talking young people, I'm talking old people. You know, so you see that there's no one rule or one boat here, really. Whichever one you decide. I think my own final words would be, just be happy. Just be happy. You have just one. Just be happy. Be as happy as you can. And like Pearl said, really, you're made in the image of God. Whether you believe it or not, someone made you. That's the truth. Someone made you. I know it's egg and sperm, but nah. Someone made egg and sperm. So, and that person didn't make you for...
They make a mistake. And they didn't make you for someone else. Like,
all I did, you know, in putting your beautiful self with all of the complexities that you have as a woman, all of the features and all of that, they didn't, and the goal was just for you to be handed over, right?
Yes,
you
know, ma'am.
Exchange of rings. No, yes, that's not all of it. No, that's not even it. So, yeah, and I do hope that this encourages you. I hope so. And please share your stories. How do you people that are out there, you people that are not saying anything,
Jackie Aina is one of the most pressured people online to be married. She has been dating her now fiancé. Yeah. In fact, just fiancé. They have already done so. They have done 2 years. It's my fiancé. She has been dating her now fiancé for over a decade. They are still not married. Every single time I enter a Jackie Aina comment section. Yeah. Babe, when is the wedding? When is the wedding? When is the wedding? Jackie Aina is attending wedding after wedding of all her friends. Mm. How does she cope? That's what I want to know.
Jackie, if you're listening to this, please just Jackie, put it in the comments.
Because, you know, our podcast is international.
Yeah. So just put it in the comments, girl, okay?
Yeah. Put us on game. Put us on game. All right? But anyway, thank you everybody for listening to us just lament. I mean, it's been a great time. I think we did justice to the topic by speaking on our own personal experiences. Yeah. And we hope that you're able to take something that you could actually use. We're fighting with you. We're praying with you. And yeah, like Osa said, we just want to see you happy.
We just really want
to
see
you. And even we too, we just want to be happy.
And see you guys on our next episode.
Oh my God, I can't wait because... We already know what the next topic is going to be. Bye.